This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Good morning. My name is Tanine Bradford, and I am pleased to introduce John Furman, Director of Research Programs and Professional Services Division at the International Association of Chiefs of Police in Alexandria, Virginia. Prior to joining IACP, he was an appointee of the Governor of Illinois, serving as Associate Director of the Illinois Criminal Justice Authority from 1985 to 1994. During his 44-year career in law enforcement and criminal justice, he has directed law enforcement, court, corrections, and criminal justice system planning and research studies at the federal, state, and local levels throughout the United States. Since joining the IACP, he has created and managed the National Law Enforcement Policy Summit Series, addressing current and emerging issues in the police profession. Mr. Furman, please tell us about IACP's role in addressing the prevention of officer suicides.
About almost a decade ago, IACP started receiving calls, a lot of calls, anguish calls from law enforcement agencies around the country who were experiencing high levels of police officer suicide. One department actually had lost an officer over a seven-month period. They lost one officer every month or so. So the calls to the IACP were for help, clearly for help, with those departments saying, what are we doing? What do we need to do? What are the things you need to be ready for and prepared for if you're going to try and reduce or stop the, officers from killing themselves? So our attention was drawn to this, obviously, by the field, who was saying this is a concern to us, and we're not sure what the right things to do are. So once those kinds of calls come in from our membership, then we know it's time to act and act aggressively.
Okay. So a few months ago, IACP hosted a national symposium on breaking the silence of law enforcement suicide. Can you please describe the purpose of the symposium and how the day was organized?
Before the symposium, just stepping back a little bit, after those calls started to come in many years ago, what IACP did initially was to go after the problem and go around basically very quickly, go around the country and collect best practices and find out what departments were doing, who were aware of this and attentive to it and trying to come up with the solutions. And so we were able to gather an amazing amount of good best practice from local departments saying, look, we've had the problem and we believe these are the right ways to address it. And so we put together a compendium, a CD, on preventing police officers' suicide. We did that with BJA, and it was an excellent initiative, and that was many years ago, but that CD is still out there, still available on our website. And so that sort of began the process by putting the CD out and saying there are things you can do, and here are some of those examples. But the summit brought us to, I think, a much larger threshold of activity, where we decided that there still wasn't enough consensus on the right things to do and the ways to respond to this problem. So to answer your question, our national policy summits are always multidisciplinary, and so we very simply went out and found about 75 people around the country who we thought were experts in the issue of police officer suicide, and that included police, psychologists, doctors, medical professionals, advocates, counselors, people who had experienced survivors of police officer suicide, family members, chiefs who had lost an officer. So a very distinct but very very different and multidisciplinary group of people. We brought them all together here in Washington. As a matter of fact, we brought them together at the Alexandria Police Department, and we held a one full day summit to basically drive them to consensus and say, you've all come in here with different perspectives, but can we get to a consensus of the top things that you think have to be done to support police to reduce officer suicide?
Okay, so following that then, can you then highlight a few of the recommendations that emerged from the symposium?
Yes. First of all, one of the outstanding things that caught our attention at the summit was the sheer, the scope and size of the problem. If you think about officers killed in the line of duty, the first discussion at the summit was what is our context? What is the situation like comparatively? And if you look at officers killed in the line of duty, even the last several years, the number of officers who died by felonious assault last year or so was about 72. The number was killed in traffic accidents in the most recent year was about 66. But there's no real accurate number of how many officers take their lives. But we believe comfortably with the research that's been done that the number of officers who killed themselves was at least double. Was the number number that discussed at the summit was around 145, and so those numbers are inordinately high if you think about the fact that the traffic deaths and felonious assault deaths are only half that number. So that drove, I think, the participants to want to be very aggressive in their solutions. And so the answers, and they won't surprise you, I think they're smart. The first one, it really goes to organizational responsibility. What has to happen here is that it can't be one person or two persons or three within the department to say, we care about officer suicide. An entire agency has to come together around responding to the problem and making it clear to every officer that resources are available. So that's number one. Number two is the proactive nature of the work that the police department has to do. It's one thing to say, I don't want an officer to take his or her life, but it's another to say, here are the proactive steps that you can take to ensure that your mental health, your stability, your approach to your outlook on life is stable enough to keep you away from the event of taking your life. And so the second critical thing was that these activities, these actions have to be proactive. And the third thing, again, I don't think that would surprise anybody, is resources. No police department can credibly say they're going to stop or slow the process of officer suicide if they don't have a significant set of professional resources, counselors, programs, peer support, all kinds of things. If they don't have the resources available when an officer steps forward and says, I want some help here, then that program's not going to work. So those are, I think, the most important things to us.
So what do you think is the greatest challenge for police agencies today in breaking the silence to discuss and address the prevention or aftermath of a suicide?
Culture, culture, culture. We, law enforcement is a wizard. And by the way, it's not the only culture that has a problem with this, but law enforcement traditionally has a culture of you're a cop, you have to be tough, you're going to see a lot of bad stuff, you're going to participate in a lot of things that are going to hurt you emotionally, psychologically, and your job is to flip a switch, walk away, and say, I'm fine. The second assumption in the culture is that you came to work today from a home, and everything at your home is probably must be perfectly fine. You don't have family problems, medical problems, financial problems, children problems, spousal problems. No, you must be fine today because you're a cop, you have the uniform on, and you can do the job, and you're fine. And so our culture of you're fine, you're okay, walk away, turn a switch, go to work, is absolutely the wrong culture, the worst and most dangerous culture to be in if you're having emotional problems, any kind of depression, any anxiety, any mental health issues, because our culture historically has been, we don't want you to talk about that. We don't even want to know about that. Right? So culture's the issue. And then the question becomes, can you do a 180? Can you turn that culture into one that is supportive and one of awareness and one where you acknowledge immediately that there's all kinds of problems that can happen to you as an officer? You are vulnerable and there's help here for you. And the answer, the good news is the answer is yes. There's plenty of examples out there of departments who begin at the academy by saying you could have and you may likely have emotional problems, depression, anxiety. These are things that happen to everybody else in society. They may well happen to you, and we're going to help you when they come, and we want you to be aware of it. We want your family to be aware of it, and we want to give you help when you need it.
Sounds great. So what are IACP's next steps for applying the recommendations identified in the symposium?
Next steps are pretty straightforward. Our real goal is we have a summit report that's about to come out, and when that summit report is released, then we have a pretty significant responsibility at that point to push those results and recommendations to the field. We have 22,000 members, and our job will be to move them out there, move these recommendations out and say to every department that's interested, let's help you get these recommendations in place. And so that's a pilot process. We're going to pick and choose some agencies around the country, and we'll basically ask them, it's almost like an experiment. We'll say, here's a very, we think, well-written and well-thought-out summit report, and can you, if you will, please take a look and sort of dive into this report and go ahead and start to make changes in your culture, in your policies, in your protocols, in your training to adopt these recommendations. That won't be a perfect process. I mean, every department will do that differently. And some departments will struggle with some things. Others will find certain recommendations that they like more than others. But in the end, our goal will be to pilot this out there and see how it works.
All of this sounds very, very good. And Director Furman, I just want to take the time to thank you on behalf of the COPS office for providing us with this information and your expertise.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I want to thank the cops office, obviously, in return. So thank you.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.